Welcome to The Deep Dive, where we unpack fascinating research and find those surprising nuggets of knowledge you won't get just skimming headlines. Today, we're plunging into the marine world to understand a seemingly simple question. Can an oyster's metabolism give us a kind of crystal ball peek into its chances of survival in, well, challenging environments?
Yeah, we've got some incredibly detailed research notes here from trials conducted at VIMS, that's the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. They're specifically focusing on our common eastern oyster, C. virginica.
Mm-hmm.
And the core mission, really, is to see if measuring something as fundamental as an oyster's metabolic rate can truly act as a reliable shortcut.
Yeah.
You know, to predict its performance once it's actually out there in the wild.
So, okay, imagine you're an oyster grower, right? You're investing a lot of time, resources into your aquaculture. You really want to know which oysters are the strongest bets, the ones most likely to thrive in, say, changing conditions. This deep dive explores a brand new type of test they called an assay that could potentially help with exactly that. We'll highlight what scientists have learned and, just as importantly, what still needs figuring out.
Exactly. It's all about getting to the heart of what makes an oyster resilient and, you know, what that really means for the future of sustainable seafood.
All right, let's dig into the specifics then. Our deep dive today is built around some really insightful notes from researcher Arianna S. Huffmeyer,
right,
at the University of Washington, detailing what they call Resageron Trials Day 4. So can you explain, maybe for those of us not in the lab daily, what is a Resageron trial? Why this method for oysters?
Well, what's really ingenious here is the approach itself. The Resageron assay, it uses this special dye.
A dye.
Yeah, and it actually changes color based on the metabolic activity happening right inside the oyster's cells. Think of it like a tiny living pH strip, but for energy use.
Ah, interesting.
It lets scientists get a real-time snapshot of how active, how busy those cells are.
Yeah.
And they're applying this to, get this, 50 families of C. virginica oysters.
50.
Yeah. And half are bred for success in low salinity, the other half for high salinity environments. The big idea, the hope, is to see if these metabolic snapshots correlate with how these oysters are predicted to perform.
Uh-huh.
And then, the crucial step later, how they actually perform out in the field, which, you know, brings up that fundamental question. Can a lab measurement, like metabolic rate, really tell us about real-world resilience?
That's an impressive number of oysters to track. I saw in the notes the protocol is incredibly precise. Can you walk us through some of the, like, the practical side of running these? They mention 440 oysters, 22 plates, incubation, hourly readings. Why all that detail?
Yeah, it's all about control and consistency. You know, to get reliable data from so many individuals, every single step has to be meticulous. They add a chilled Resageron solution, take those initial baseline measurements.
Okay.
Then they incubate the plates at a warm 40 degrees Celsius, which is quite a stressor for an oyster, actually.
40 C. Yeah, that's warm.
Definitely. Yeah. Then they're taking these hourly readings for several hours. They even chill the plates down mid-trial. It creates this detailed time series, a picture of metabolic response under that specific stress.
Right.
But what's fascinating is, even with all that care, they still notice subtle challenges, like a persistent temperature gradient across the plates.
Oh, really? Even in the lab?
Yep. A good reminder that even in controlled settings, tiny variables can pop up. They accounted for it statistically, which is good.
Yeah.
And for future trials, they'll probably rotate the plates to even things out. They also found a kind of sweet spot for oyster size, recommended a mid-range, like 10 to 18 millimeters, for the best results in these particular plates. These are the sorts of practical boots-on-the-ground insights that really push the science forward.
So, okay, given all this meticulous work, here's where it gets really interesting for, say, an oyster grower hoping for a new tool. What does the researcher actually say about making immediate actionable recommendations to growers based on this assay right now?
Right. That's the million-dollar question, isn't
it? Yeah.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the most crucial takeaway, really, for anyone looking for that quick answer is this. The data isn't quite ready for broad sweeping recommendations to growers. Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, this project is a really powerful first step. Don't get me wrong. It's revealing invaluable insights.
Mm-hmm.
But the researchers are very clear. They need significantly more data.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, data that directly links this metabolic response they see in the lab to actual observed field performance.
So it's not as simple as just saying, okay, find the oysters with a high metabolic rate. Those will be your best performers.
Exactly. It's far more nuanced than that, much more complex. The research really emphasizes that whether a higher rate or maybe even a lower one is beneficial.
Oh, Well, it depends heavily on several factors,
Like what?
like the environmental history of the specific oyster stocks you're looking at, the specific type of stress they use during the test, and how that relates to their natural environment.
And even the life stage of the oysters being tested. You know, are they juveniles, adults? It matters.
Okay. Lots of variables.
Absolutely. It's a complex puzzle. And that means continued real-world field data collection is just essential before we can offer definitive, sort of universally applicable advice.
Okay, so while immediate grower recommendations aren't quite there, what did the preliminary results from these specific trials show? What did they learn about the metabolic rates themselves among the different oyster families?
Well, the initial results are actually quite insightful on their own. They found the metabolic rate was significantly different between the oyster families.
Okay, so family matters.
It seems to, yeah, indicating a high degree of natural variation just between family lines. And interestingly, these metabolic responses, they stayed fairly consistent across all the different days they took measurements.
Consistent within a family.
What the pattern of differences between families was consistent day to day. And crucially, metabolic rates also differed significantly depending on their phenotype.
Phenotype meaning the group they were bred for. Low salinity versus high salinity.
Exactly. And here's a specific finding. The families that were specifically bred for survival in low salinity environments, they actually had higher metabolic rates in these assays.
Higher rates for low salinity survival. That's interesting. Maybe counterintuitive.
It could seem that way initially, yeah.
Yeah.
Raises questions about energy strategy under stress.
But okay, our sources also mention variability within families. That seems a bit counterintuitive if family lines show distinct rates. What did the deeper analysis, like the clustering inheritability estimates, tell them about that? Variation inside a single family.
Yeah, this really gets at an important question, doesn't it? How much of an oyster's resilience is down to its family tree versus just its own individual makeup? And what they found was pretty compelling. When they used statistics to group the oysters just based on their metabolic activity, low, medium, or high, they saw that while some families did tend to fall mostly into one group, say mostly high activity, most families actually showed a real mixture. Oysters spread across low, medium, and high clusters within the same family.
So, like finding a human family where some siblings are super energetic and others are really laid back.
Kind of like that, yeah. It indicates surprisingly high variability in metabolism within these families. And this was backed up by their other calculations, low repeatability and really low heritability estimates.
Meaning.
Meaning that while genetics certainly play a role, it seems like most of the variation they saw in metabolic response comes down to individual differences, maybe subtle environmental factors we can't even measure, rather than a strong, predictable genetic blueprint that dictates exactly how every oyster in that family will respond.
So less about the family name, more about the individual oyster's unique reaction.
That seems to be a big part of the story here, yeah.
Okay, so beyond just measuring these rates, the ultimate goal was connecting them to performance, right? Even if just predicted performance for now, what kind of traits were they looking at and what did they find? Did the rates correlate?
Right, so they looked at two key measures of metabolic activity. One was the total activity over the whole test period. They call it area under the curve, or AUC, basically the overall energy expenditure.
Okay.
And they also looked specifically at the metabolic rate during that critical first hour of stress. They tried correlating these with four predicted traits: survival in high salinity, survival in low salinity, growth weight in high salinity, and growth weight in low salinity.
And these predictions came from breeding calculations, not field results yet.
Exactly. Important distinction. These are predictions based on the breeding program's models, not from oysters actually deployed and measured in the field. That comes later.
Got it. So, what did that correlation analysis show? Was there a clear link across the board?
Well, this is a really key finding, and it's quite specific. They discovered a positive relationship between metabolic activity, both at total AUC and the activity of the first hour, and predicted survival in low salinity environments.
Okay, a positive link there.
But, and this is the crucial caveat, this connection only held true for the low salinity selected families.
Only for the ones bred for low salinity.
Correct. For all the other traits, they looked at survival and weight in high salinity. And even weight in low salinity, they found no significant relationship with metabolic activity for either group of oysters, high salinity, or low salinity selected.
Wow. Okay, so that's highly specific. Higher metabolism linked to predicted low salinity survival, but only in the oysters already selected for low salinity.
Precisely. And this kind of highly contextual finding really underscores why making those broad generalizations right now would be premature, maybe even risky.
So wrapping this up, what does this all really mean for us? I mean, this deep dive into oyster metabolic trials truly highlights the intricate dance between lab measurements and predicting real-world biological performance.
Yeah.
It's not straightforward.
Not at all. And it's critical that we, you know, as curious learners, really appreciate that environmental context and robust, ongoing field data collection are just absolutely essential before any firm recommendations can be made for growers using this specific assay.
Right.
We just don't have enough information yet to broadly say, okay, higher metabolism means better performance or lower means better. It's not that simple.
Right.
These findings, they need to be very specifically understood within the context of, well, everything.
Hmm.
The particular oyster population, its genetic family, the species itself, the environment it actually lives in, and the specific stressors it faces out there.
But, okay, what we do know from this work is pretty valuable in itself, right? They've successfully characterized clear differences in metabolic responses between oyster families. That's established.
Yeah.
They've observed distinctions between those phenotypes, the low versus high salinity selected groups.
Yes.
And they did find that compelling initial link. Families selected for low salinity that showed higher metabolic rates in the lab also had higher predicted survival in low salinity.
That specific connection, yes.
Yeah.
It's a strong starting point. And the next truly crucial step, as the researchers themselves emphasized, is to validate these lab-based metabolic rates against actual performance data. Data collected from these very same oysters out in the field, likely this summer. That's where the real story, the confirmation, will unfold.
And for you listening, hopefully this deep dive offers a compelling look into the nuanced world of scientific research. You see, it's a careful, iterative process, almost like a detective story.
Mm-hmm.
Moving from these intriguing lab results towards insights that could one day be truly actionable. It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? What other seemingly simple biological measures might hold keys to predicting complex outcomes if only we collect enough context-rich data and, you know, follow the science wherever it leads, even when it's surprisingly specific like this?